Welcome to Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by the Sophie Health Team with founder Kaveh Mamari, herbalist Pamela Spence, and evangelist Vincent Boone. Together, we explore the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.health, reconnecting people and plants.
A very warm welcome to the show. We're really happy to be back with you to explore the conversation about how to help people, maybe people like you, to feel more empowered to manage the effects of ongoing stress like anxiety and sleeplessness, the Sophie way. If you're joining us for the first time, please go to our Listen on Demand page and listen in to episode one, where we explain the Sophie.health vision and the Sophie way, which combines plant extracts, an app, and an online community to support people through stressful times, particularly when that starts to cause problems in everyday life.
Last week in episode three, we had an inspiring conversation with Dr. Stephen Dahmer, a friend of Sophie and an integrative physician, who gave us his thoughts on the importance of community, culture, and non-chemical interventions like journaling that help his patients feel better. If you missed it, please visit the Listen on Demand show page to catch up and on all the other episodes.
Now, before we get on with the business of the show today, I would like to just give a quick reminder that we created a special page for our UK Health Radio listeners. You can find that page at join.sophie.health/radio, and you can fill in a code called RADIO50. If you do that, you'll get 50% off the pod that you can use to spray our lovely formulations. So we'll remind you again of that page by the end of the show. But for now, a little bit about our guest speaker, Dr. Fab Mancini, a health and lifestyle expert.
Now, this promises to be a really interesting show. Fab, as he likes to be known, has over 30 years experience as a holistic health provider, author, speaker, inspirer. I would say he has inspired audiences worldwide through his media appearances on shows with Dr. Phil, The Doctor, CNN, Telemundo, Fox News. So he is well known on perhaps the other side of the pond for many of our listeners. I first became aware of Fab in London at an event. He was charismatic. That I recognized long before I knew the long list of qualities that he had. And very soon I understand that that was grounded on a very strong belief of serving and service, which I'm sure we will hear more about on this call. And he has a very strong conviction on that, which I thought was very interesting and very inspirational, and ultimately in improving the human condition.
So, you know, we've known Fab for a little while, and we know he's quite well known for his engaging style, and he has lectured across most of the United States, right? And worldwide in over 25 countries, Fab. Yes. Quite a lot. And, you know, not only that, he's also an international best-selling author of books, and I'll just plug him here for you, Fab. The Power of Self-Healing, Chicken Soup for the Chiropractic Soul. And he has his own Hay House radio program called Self-Healing with Dr. Fab. You can also listen to him on his podcast, The Fab Life, and watch his TV series, which he's also got, Thriving in the New Normal. You're a busy bunny, Fab.
At 33 years old, Fab became one of the youngest ever college presidents at Parker University, where he continues to serve as president emeritus. He's won many awards, as you can imagine, for his contributions to the field of wellness and leadership, and he's been featured in plenty of documentaries. For his contributions in the healthcare and education systems, the president of Mexico even named a university library after him. That is quite the bio. Fab's passion for health and personal development has inspired and empowered millions worldwide to unlock their full potential. He mentors over 100 CEOs and serves as a global consultant to companies, making a positive impact on the world. So like I said, what a bio. I'd love to know, Evie, as our voice of our pioneer community, what are your thoughts about meeting Fab today?
I mean, firstly, I'd like to say how exciting it is. I think many of our pioneers can agree this is quite a exciting episode for Sophie's little radio. I've been researching Dr. Fab's work the last couple of days, and I'm really impressed. Like, your positive outlook on health and things like that, it's really refreshing to see, because so many ideas on health and well-being can feel so like depressing and just like make you feel so down. And seeing how you can incorporate things such as well-being and make it like a empowering and positive thing is really lovely to see, and I'm sure all of our pioneers would agree. And I also saw that you have quite a positive outtake on the after effects of the pandemic. And I would say that's really important, because as someone that went through quite a tough time in the pandemic, I've seen how so many people interpret the pandemic as solely a negative thing. But I'm sure so many beautiful things, as you've explored, have come out of it. So I'm really excited to hear about them today.
Amazing. And Fab, lovely to have us, to have you here with us this morning. I know it's your morning, so thank you so much for taking the time. And as the guys were saying, 30 years now, I'm not saying that's a long time or a short time. It's a serious quantum of time, right? What do you see as the main challenge for people living healthier, better lives now?
Well, thank you so much. First of all, I just want to say that introduction is very humbling, because I really see myself just an ordinary person that has chosen an extraordinary mission. And to me, that's the health of humanity. So to answer your question, Kaveh, is I will start by saying that the biggest challenge right now is people trying to figure out what is real and what is not. There's so much confusion in the marketplace, especially during the pandemic, where we heard different opinions from different scientific minds around the world. I'm in the world of research, so I get to see a lot of the science and the evidence that is coming out from all over the world. And it's conflicting because we're seeing some research coming out of Asia and coming out of Europe and coming out of the United States that they don't seem to go towards the same conclusions. And I think that was obvious during the pandemic, because we kept hearing different messaging from our country leaders, our World Health Organization, that kept changing the message throughout the pandemic. So what I want people to understand, number one, is that your health is your responsibility. I often said that anytime we give something like our health as a responsibility of somebody else, we must be very careful, because that somebody else can only protect or make decisions upon that health based on the training that they received. And the interesting thing, I've been in this space for over 35 years, there's a lot of different trainings that will expand your mind as to why and how the body heals. So for me, initially, I was trained as a traditional doctor, wanting to be a neurosurgeon and understanding the importance of evaluating the body through certain chemistries like blood work, urine, maybe an X-ray here and there. Yeah. Now we have MRIs, which is important. But at the same time, the treatment to the words what we found were very limited. They were mostly geared towards pharmaceuticals, maybe perhaps a surgery if it's necessary. And what I discovered early on in my life is, and this happened because of an accident, I ended up in a doctor of chiropractic's office that introduced me to what I call the world of prevention in 1987. I was a very young man, 20 years old, 21 years old. And I realized that ever since then, I realized that over 90% of our illnesses today is what we call chronic illnesses. And they have not responded well to the traditional care. So because of that, early on, I had the vision that instead of being a neurosurgeon and helping people at that level, why not go into the world of prevention? Why not go into that space where we can teach people how to make good choices and give them options in their lifestyle choices, because that's where it really begins. And then I became a doctor of chiropractic. I became an acupuncturist, energy medicine expert, nutritionist. Anything in the holistic world that I saw that was going to help somebody, I was learning about it, trying to implement it into my practice, implement it into my recommendations. And that's what led through this space. So the biggest challenge is sorting the information out. The good news is that today, hopefully, we're going to give you some great clarity as to how to make good choices for yourself and your family.
That's great. Thank you so much, Fab. When we spoke about this before, you talked about some of the blocks being like thinking that this pharmaceutical way or mainstream medicine is the only way. And some people fear being judged even by family and friends if they make an alternative choice. And I just wonder something Evie touched on before around the pandemic. Do you think what kind of effect do you think the pandemic has had on that situation, on making choice and taking responsibility? Do you think it's got better or worse?
Well, in the initial stages, you know, my job is to report on the media. So for Fox News, Dr. Phil, the doctor, CNN, many others. And the messaging was coming in very strong from the higher ups to only say this, meaning keep the distance from each other, 6 foot distance, you know, make sure you wash your hands constantly. They also wanted us to wear masks. And all through this, my uniqueness was that I would say those things, but I would also empower the person to recognize, to maybe perhaps support their immune system naturally, which we have some amazing things, which has already been documented through science, like vitamin C, zinc, vitamin D3. And I would say to them, hey, this is maybe a good time for you to support yourself. And also make sure that even though the gyms are closed and you can't work out in a gym, what about doing some jumping jacks on sit-ups and running on in place, or maybe taking a walk in your neighborhood or something to get out to be able to move your body? So to answer your question is very simple. I believe that in the beginning, it was very confusing. And what's happening is that there was so much fear given by the media that people began to panic. And I give you a perfect example, even in my own family. My own family is very holistic, but I have also a doctor of mental health in my family that's very well known in that space. And then I have other family members that are some holistic, some other ones not as holistic. And then I have my mother, which has been through some health issues like a stroke 3 years ago. So there was a lot of fear. And even in my own family, I was surprised how some of them were saying, well, if you think you're a little bit sick, don't come home. I don't want to see you. Or you got to stay in a hotel, or you got to be quarantined and all of that. And that created a lot of separation and a lot of judgment about how do I want to handle that for myself. But the problem was that if I chose to be holistic in this process, and someone in my family chose not to, now they don't want anything to do with me. I mean, I saw parents, I saw individuals in a household fight to the point that one went to one room and the other one went to the other. I saw individuals that were not allowing their loved ones to come and visit because they thought maybe there will be a risk. So that was at the beginning. And then because of all the different messaging that we were getting, after 2 years or so, it began to become clear that maybe a lot of that information was not handled properly, that maybe we were forcing people to do things that we didn't even understand. And what's interesting now is that the exposure of the COVID is one thing. But now in science, it's all about the long COVID effects. And the long COVID means that if you were exposed to COVID, then what ramifications is that going to have for you long term? Whether you had a symptom or not, it doesn't matter. What is the science telling us? And what I was surprised is that there's been over 1 million research papers done in the last 2 years alone in the long COVID. And now a lot of that data is beginning to come out right now, letting people know that whether you had symptoms of COVID before, don't be surprised that some of your current symptoms today may be related to what you were exposed to. And that's really where people need to be and pay attention and listen to shows like this that can help bring information, and therefore you can make a better choice. So I think it's getting a little bit better. People are feeling more at ease. But at the same time, I'm seeing papers and messages from the big organizations like the World Health Organization and others that are still warning people that there may be a second coming of this virus. So there may be a new variant right around the corner during the holidays. And that to me is a little bit concerning, because we realized that fear was not the best way to handle this. you handle something like this through information, through authenticity, through no vested interest, but just help people make good choices. And what I felt is that traditional medicine missed a big opportunity to get people involved into and engaged into their well-being, lifestyle choices. You know, when the supermarkets were closing, you noticed that most people bought foods that were preserved. And the vegetables and the organic foods were the aisles that were full of vegetables, while the other ones were completely empty. Therefore, the majority of the people gained weight during the pandemic. And that's a big problem now because our obesity rates, not only in the United States, but around the world, has grown tremendously. Why? Because we stopped putting into our bodies the natural, the holistic, the organic foods that are so essential. But the good news is this. Because of that, now people tend to want to learn more about their health. They're putting health as a priority. They're tuning into shows like this. They're reading more about books about how I can be healthy. They're listening to podcasts that are very holistic and well-being, but also they're making choice in going to holistic providers more than ever. And I think that's the greatest news that have come out of this.
So it's almost like a move from, we talked about before, from this passive acceptance of someone else is going to help me with my health to this much more active as well. And I think that there, for me, with my patients, there are some deeper conversations happening. So instead of just this blanket, you know, advice for everybody, actually people are starting to differentiate a little bit and go a bit deeper. So for example, we're talking more now about the fact that fear can suppress your immunity. So yeah. Dealing with this with fear is not the way forward. We need to be supporting our immunity naturally. And also, you know, that so many people find that anxiety, which of course for our listeners is something that we really concentrate on, anxiety and sleeplessness and those kind of things, really became worse for a lot of people because of some of these divisions that happened. Yeah.
And also, I think that just to mention something, I also think that the important thing here is the fact that when the pandemic happened, remember that the people that were impacted the most were those people that were struggling with what we call comorbidities or conditions like chronic illnesses. They had heart conditions or heart disease. They had diabetes. They had they were smokers or, you know, something like that. So people began to realize that, hey, if something like this may come back, maybe I should start taking care of my health a little bit more. So now we're seeing that a lot of those individuals that are really struggling with chronic illnesses, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, obesity, arthritis, and many others, now they're becoming more aware that I better start taking care of myself now because I don't want to be that 5% that was at a high risk of really having a negative situation, whether we have a new virus in the future or we have another designation or another variant of this own virus that we had. So I think that the whole point is for people to be empowered. My message over the last few years have been, don't become a victim of the circumstances. Become a victor by making good choices, by learning yourself, by not comparing yourself and saying, well, this is what they're saying for everybody. No, I'm going to look at my own health. I'm going to look at my own lifestyle choices. I'm going to start making better choices today so I can be better tomorrow. And more importantly, I'm going to look at all the information instead of just being connected only to the television or to one channel and saying the news are the only ones that can give me information. I can tell you that's not the case. I've been in the media for 35 years. And in my history, I've never seen where the media all had the same story to tell. Never. Media is supposed to be about researching and learning what else is out there. This time, the media said, we only have to say these same things throughout the whole world. So that concerned me because being in the media, a lot of people left the media in the United States because that was not media. Media is about researching, learning new ways, finding out what's really happening here. Is this really a conspiracy or if it's not? But more importantly, what can I do as a consumer to make better decisions for myself, to protect the health of my family? And that's really where I believe we have a tremendous opportunity with shows like this to educate the public So that way they can make better choices.
Fantastic. Some really great insights there. Thank you so much, Fab. We would love to continue this conversation with you, of course. So please stay with us and we will do that straight after this commercial break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. Before the break, we heard Dr. Fab Mancini talk about figuring out what is real and what is not real in research, all right, and doing your own research. And, you know, as Fab is actually in the world of research, he's found out there's a lot of conflicting conclusions these days, and finds that, you know, people need to take more responsibility of their health, right? And really look at the world of prevention. So about 90% of illnesses today are actually chronic. Lifestyle is where it starts, right? Making good choices for yourself and your family. And we talked about what happened during COVID, right? And again, where, you know, there was a lot of fear during that whole COVID, kind of like, you know, media made fear, and how, you know, Dr. Fab was really looking at things that, you know, when he was, you know, basically putting out the messages that the governments wanted to put out, he added in more, right, about things, how you can actually support your own immune system naturally, right, working out at home, taking a walk, just moving your body, and how with long COVID symptoms, there are actually a million research papers that have been put out over the last 2 years, which is, again, a huge wealth of information. And that fear that was putting out is actually not the right way to deal with it. And you know, our own Pamela here actually said that fear can suppress your immune system. So we really missed a really large opportunity then, really about learning about your own health and looking at your own health holistically. And so, yes, really it is about becoming empowered and start making better choices for yourself today, and looking at various sources of information in doing that. And so, Dr. Fab, you know, during the, or actually after the pandemic, did you really see a change in people's focus around, you know, kind of like their emotional and spiritual health? And could you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, the good news is that I've been in this space so over 35 years, like I mentioned. And for over 30 years, I've asked the question from audiences around the world, what are the three things you value the most in your life? Pretty good question. Well, the sad answer is the fact that less than 10% of the people ever put health as something as they truly value. Less than 10%. Today, I do the same question, and it's over 80% of the people say that they are valuing their health. So to me, the benefit is that people have become more aware that health is something very valuable. I often tell people, you know, if you have a car and you don't take care of that car, you can always trade it in. If you have shoes that you don't take care of, it, you can always buy a new pair. if you have a house or an apartment or a condo and you don't take care of it well, you can always move. But this body of ours, we only get one. We only get one. And the interesting thing is that I wish that we could have a more impact in the generation of Ivy, like my children, because that's really the generation where they can really make good choices for themselves and then be able to live longer. But the biggest thing that we have seen during the pandemic or after the pandemic has been the mental state of individuals. In the United States, we call it the mental health tsunami. And it's a big problem. It's an epidemic because the proportions and the statistics of anxiety, depression, suicide have escalated to numbers that we've never seen in the history of humanity. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that there was so much fear during the pandemic that a lot of people don't think there's going to be a tomorrow. So they just live for today and they do whatever it is that they need to do today. And they don't even plan for a better tomorrow. And that's very opposite to the generations of our parents and grandparents and even ourselves. You know, we were very calculated. We work hard to make a better future for ourselves and our family. But today it's really about doing whatever it takes to maybe forget some of the challenges. And then, of course, we have an economic unprecedented time, right? That for the first time we've seen that our economic situation is in chaos worldwide. We have an unemployment rate where people cannot get a job that is at the highest level that it's been all around the world. We also have relationship breakups that are more than ever, because all of a sudden they're fighting not only about money issues, but they're fighting about relationship issues. They realize that maybe you're not giving me what I need, so I'm going to go get it somewhere else. And people are making those type of decisions. So mental health is very critical right now. So why is it that it's so important to pay attention to your state of well-being, your emotional state? And I wrote about that in my last book, The Power of Self-Healing. I told people that there's three components to healing: your physical body, your emotional state, and your spiritual state. And you have to work towards each one of them if you truly want to support your health potential. But the problem is your emotional state, your mindset, if you're depressed, if you're anxious, it changes the chemistry in your body, which leads to a high level of cortisol, which is the stress hormone. It's the most dangerous hormone in the body. Your body starts breaking down. Your organs are not working. We're seeing now that cognitive decline, dementia, Alzheimer's have become the highest number. When that came into the picture, I'll never forget this. The studies were saying, pay attention to patients that are claiming that they're getting forgetful and that they're not remembering things. But it was patients that were 75 years or older. Now we're able to diagnose dementia and Alzheimer's and cognitive decline in 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds. That is my concern, is where are we going towards? So we have to pay attention to our emotional state because the chemistry of our body changes and that leads to high blood pressure, right? If you're anxious, you're going to have high blood pressure that may lead to a potential heart attack. It's going to also impact your immune defenses because anytime you're depressed, your immune system lowers to the point that it can't even produce the antibodies that it needs to fight bacteria and viruses around you. So I would say, do a checkup every single day of your emotional state. Ask yourself a simple question like, if I had an emotional score, would it be from one that I'm at the lowest level possible? Or is it a 10 that I'm the happiest, joyful that I've ever been? And what you find is most people will rate themselves in a 2 or a 3 based on our research, because they're really struggling emotionally. And that struggle is leading them to make, unfortunately, bad decisions about where they spend their money, bad because they want to escape it, right? So they tend to drink more. During the pandemic, you know, alcohol consumption went up over 50%. And we're already drinking a lot in this world. This is very concerning to me. Drug consumption, addictions went up tremendously. And that's because people want to escape. They want to escape their reality. And what I'm saying is, don't escape your reality. Embrace it. Make it a part of you. Make it like it's asking you, what can I do better? Who can I become to allow me to succeed, to allow me to surpass maybe the circumstances that I'm facing right now? Like, I give you an example. If right now you lost your job and it's very stressful, but in the studies that we've done in the United States, over 70% of Americans claim that they are disengaged and they don't love their work. They don't even want to go to work. So maybe this is a sign to start your own little business, perhaps to go find that passion of yours that you gave up because somebody told you you had to get a real job. You know, I tell my children that the most important thing is you have to find your passion and then find an economic model to be able to make as much money as you want to make to live the lifestyle you want to make. Because I can tell you, one of the wealthiest men in the United States is a man that started as a garbage collector. And he began to put together, you know, pick up garbage in schools. And all of a sudden, he realized that other people weren't doing a good job. So he started hiring people. And he became one of the most wealthiest he was the founder of Blockbuster and also AutoNation, which are two of the biggest corporations that have been in the United States. And his lesson to us was always, when you have a passion that you care, he began to love garbage collection to the point that he began to create the largest sanitary entity in the state of Florida, which allowed him to become the wealthiest man, one of the wealthiest men in the world. So what I'm here to tell you is that loss of a job could be your biggest blessing. It could be the message that you've been waiting for to say, what can I do now? Where do I really want to play? What did I give up to get to this point? And what I find is that the people that embrace that, they're thriving. They're thriving and they're doing well because they realize that losing that job was all a good thing, not a bad thing. I always tell people, listen, the universe, God, is always conspiring for your benefit. Don't ever think that things happen to victimize you. Things only happen to help you understand that you were meant to be more than you're living right now. You were meant to have more. You were meant to do more, but you're holding yourself back. You know, I've been in the success world for over 37 years. And all I can tell you is our belief systems are the main thing that keeps us from truly becoming our potential. So you have to sometimes challenge those belief systems. If you were raised in a family that says, as I get older, I'm going to get sicker. Guess what? That's your reality. But if you were raised around people that keep telling you that you can live up to 120 years old healthy, that's the person I want to hang around with. That's the choices I'm making today. That's where I already wrote my 100-year birthday speech. Why? Because I read a book called The Passion Test, that one of the exercises is to develop your passion, write down your 100-year birthday speech. What do you want to tell your loved ones? And then you reverse engineer and you begin to do that today. And that's the secret of having your passion in your life. Is you find out what it is that you want to end up as. Like Stephen Covey used to say, Stephen Covey taught us in the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, begin with the end in mind. So in our space, the health space, right? Your ultimate health has to be your priority. And then you reverse engineer and you say, what can I do today that can actually help me be healthier tomorrow? Maybe it's utilizing Sophie because it's going to give you ingredients that are going to help your body be able to function better. Maybe it's exercising a little bit more. Maybe it's adding a little bit more vegetables into your plate and having less of the carbohydrates. Maybe it's actually surrounding yourself with positive people instead of the negative people that are depressing you. Maybe it's reading an inspirational story instead of watching a horror movie. You know, you get to choose, but whatever you choose, understand is who you become.
That's incredible, Fab. And as I'm listening to you as a doctor talking about health, I think about how much that narrative of health has moved from your temperature. Because, you know, that was a sign of, are you sick? Are you well? Well, I don't know. Are you running a temperature? Because if you're not running a temperature, get out of my, you know, you're fine. You're not, get out of my office. What do you want here, right? And I'm just thinking, like, you're right. Because so much of life impacts on so much on our perception of our life, and our perception so much becomes our life eventually. Health must begin with the way we approach this. And this shift to go from surviving to thriving, this shift from leaning back on the couch and saying, fix me, doctor, to going out for a jog. This idea of health, and then what is healthcare? Is it about promotion of wellness or some kind of disease management system? Tell me, in your experience, how have you seen this change? Because I know you referenced COVID as one of those seminal moments of change, but you've been doing this for 30 odd years. Yeah. Has this been like a drip, drip, drip thing, or have you seen this like accelerating? And are there things we could each do? Because it sounds like you're a doctor, but you're giving life advice. And yeah. You know, I find that amazing. So can you speak to that?
So this has been my evolution, to be honest with you. I was just very fortunate, very blessed to see the vision early on in my life. I'll give you some basics. The more you're into the healthcare system of the world, you realize that it's an economic system rather than a system to truly want to help people be well. That's all it is, right? It's an economic system. So the decisions about healthcare, and I've talked to leaders of countries about this, I've talked to agencies, is managing the economics of disease, right? So there is a philosophy that the best way to manage disease is through pharmaceuticals. And that is what is still being trained in most medical schools around the world, right? The holistic component is very small, almost non-existent. Teaching you nutrition as a medical doctor is almost non-existent. Teaching you how to exercise, and that's the new medicine, that's almost non-existent. Teaching you proper lifestyle behaviors for your patients to be able to prevent disease, that's non-existent. So knowing that, understanding that, I chose to do the opposite. I chose to go into the world of prevention, into the world where now I'm not going to expect my healthcare system in my country, I'm not going to expect my medical doctor to be my only option. Yes, there is amazing value in that, but for less than 5% of the illnesses in the world. Urgent care is not where we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be in fight or flight every single moment. We're supposed to be making the choices that allow our bodies to heal properly, physically, mentally, and spiritually. So in that space, I realized that in the early days when I made the decision, it was 1987, there was no preventative medicine. There was no integrative medicine. There was no functional medicine. There was no wellness. So where did I go? My counselor in my university said, become a doctor of chiropractic. And then while I was studying chiropractic, I found out about acupuncture. And then I did a lot of research on energy medicine. I'm like, wow, this stuff is amazing. And then I started finding about nutrition. I'm like, oh, that's perfect. And now it's healthcare technologies, right, that are changing the way that we heal our bodies. So the evolution for me has been this. The fact that I do not want to be in the business of managing disease. I want every individual to understand that managing a disease is fine, but it has never healed any condition. It just manages it. But if you want to go into the healing component, you have to get into the root cause of that problem. So that means you're not just going to manage your high blood pressure, your cholesterol, your whatever. You're going to get to it. What is causing this in the first place? And that's where the magic happens. That's where the world is so exciting. And that's the world that I hope we can dialogue a little bit more through this show.
Amazing. I really wish we had more time to unpack this with you right now, Fab. But thank you so much for being with us. And do please stay for the rest of the show. When we come back after the commercial break, we'll be meeting the Herbal Hero of the Week. Vincent will be talking to us about what's been going on in our Sofi online community this week. We'll have thoughts from Evie on our discussion with you today. And of course, we'll have our weekly inspiration from Sofi founder Kaveh as well. So please do join us right after this.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, Mum and Dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plant dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health on UK Health Radio with our guest this week, Dr. Fab Mancini. And now it's time for our Herbal Hero of the Week. And this week, it's the turn of humble chamomile to be in the spotlight. So most people are really familiar with this very common herb that's grown in gardens around the world and makes a really well-known herbal tea. I'm sure everyone's probably tried it at some point. But I bet you didn't know just what a profound medicine this really pretty little flower from the daisy family carries with it. So when I talk about chamomile, I always say that it's my desert island herb. It is definitely not my favourite cup of tea, I will say that, but it is just so unbelievably useful. We've talked before about how the medicine of plants comes through the number of chemicals that they have, several hundred, instead of the single chemical that we're dealing with when we're working with pharmaceuticals. And what that means is that plants can be applied to so many different conditions and help with so many different body systems. It does make it pretty difficult to study them in a standard RCT trial method, however, so they don't always stack up there. But I think it's really important that we look back to the hundreds and thousands sometimes of years of empirical real life evidence that we have of working with them. So chamomile, we know, is traditionally used as a calming herb, and it's got several really soothing actions on the nervous system. And that's the reason in many products you'll see chamomile as the base of a calming product. And then we build on that with other herbs. Not only that, but it also contains a chemical called apigenin, which binds to the sleep receptors in the brain. So we can see it calms you down and then it allows sleep to come. It really helps. And Dr. Fab was talking earlier on about cortisol, and we know that chamomile and calming herbs like that can help cortisol levels to fall. And we know that this is imperative to allow melatonin, the sleep hormone, to be released in the brain to allow you to get to sleep. So chamomile is also a great antihistamine. So if you've got hay fever and that keeps you awake, it's a really good partner for that. It's got an affinity to the skin. It's anti-inflammatory. So we can use it for as a nice calming herb to put in skin creams and things like that. It's an antispasmodic, so it helps to reduce stomach cramps. It's a really safe herb and a really lovely one to introduce to children as well, particularly children who tend towards worrying and overthinking. And as if that wasn't enough, it's also a mild bitter, meaning that it supports digestion. There's two key types. There's the German and the Roman, and it's the German one that I'm talking about here. And the Latin name, Matricaria, You can see how this is derived from the Latin matrix, matrica, and it speaks to this motherly nature of the plant. And I always talk in this section about the plant personalities, and I do really think that Matricaria is quite motherly. You know, look at how many things she's doing while you just get on with your day. And I quite often find that my patients don't maybe notice the arrival of chamomile, but after a while taking chamomile, if they miss it, they really miss it, and they realize how much she was doing in the background. And I do think that that speaks somehow to that kind of stereotype of the mother role. So I absolutely love it. I use it lots in the clinic. And chamomile is also one of the herbs that we will be studying at SOFI on our health platform and offering in the SOFI health sphere in a few months' time. And now it's time for our pioneer reflections. Evie, we'd love to hear your thoughts on that fantastic conversation we just had with Fab.
I'm honestly speechless. That was genuinely one of like the best things that I've listened to. I was trying to like, you know, remember, maybe take notes of what I wanted to talk to you at this end. And then I just got so like entranced by everything you were saying. I was genuinely like, oh, I feel like I'm fangirling. It was amazing. Like, it was really, really just like, it just made me think so much about how true everything you were saying was. Like, the divide that COVID caused, for one, I definitely felt that, like, in my family, and the fear that, like, at first, my mum, especially, she had the news on every day. It was on the TV. Like, that was just, we would walk into the lounge and that was there, just so we could always know what was going on. And I mean, at first I saw my sister fall into like a really like kind of depression state. And, you know, it was kind of like, it would have been so great for her to leave the house. Obviously it wasn't that easy, but it was encouraged for her to stay in this bedroom that was kind of just amplifying that low mood. And I furthermore felt those effects kind of when she started getting better. And even when COVID started to ease up, that fear left such a solid part of almost my personality. Like, I was always aware when I was out, like, oh, they're coughing. Like, oh, that, what if I get ill? What if I give it to someone in my family that's a high risk case? Like, I could, oh, I can't be responsible for that. Like, the long-lasting fear that put in, I think, in a lot of the young generation, and I still see it in so many of my friends, like, it's really apparent, and hearing you talk about it really makes it a reality. It makes it not feel like, oh, we're going crazy because we're so scared of this thing that now is kind of normalized. Like, everyone's just like, oh, I've got COVID. And in fact, one of my friends in college the other day, I was sat next to you, they were like, oh yeah, I have COVID. And I was like, huh? What do you mean you have COVID? But they were like, yeah, no, it's I'm still supposed to come in. And it's that, like, it's so normalized now, but the fear still hasn't gone from it. So it's great to hear you talk about that. And another thing is how you talk about holistic medicine as being real. So my mother works in a very holistic way, in kind of a energy space, I guess is the best way to put it. And, you know, whenever I talk about it to people around me, they always like, oh, like I say she's, you know, she works with mental health, she's a therapist. And then I say the kind of area she works in, and people instantly kind of undermine her. And I love hearing how, you know, you, with all your so many years of expertise and all your, like, the fact that you are a doctor, but you still stand by the incredibleness that holistic kind of therapies and work can do for your health. And so, yeah, I loved every second of everything you were saying.
Oh, that's so great to hear, Evie. Fab, if you want to say something back, just a couple of minutes, that would be great in response.
Well, first of all, I want you to know that your generation is actually my inspiration, because that's the age of my children. And I want this world to be a better world. And I want them to understand to not ever let somebody else victimize them, even if it's just their mindset, instead of making their own choices. And I want, just like your mom, to promote that there's a whole different way to address the health conditions that we're currently seeing that are more effective, more affordable, and more practical. And that's really all I want, is for people to try that. And the good news is that over 80% of them usually tell me, oh, I was able to solve my issue naturally instead of the same way as before, just managing the symptoms. So, but thank you so much for your words.
Thanks so much, Fab. And now we need to move on to Vincent. We'd like to hear what's been going on over there in the Sophie online community this week.
Yeah, well, I guess a little bit more on holistic health, in this case, mental health. It's a conversation that's been going on for a little while, but it's involves Peter, who's a disabled veteran and a model maker. He uses modeling of houses and that kind of stuff to help himself with anxiety. And yeah, I kind of like opened up about all of the things he's been going through, from kind of like incontinence at a later age, you know, to anxiety and chronic pain. And also about finding it hard to keep going with community. Because, you know, often this is, you know, yeah, for people who are starting this kind of like journey out, it can be difficult to, you know, to regulate those emotions within a community. And especially when, you know, certain people will come out and you know, they might be, yeah, super friendly, but might not push through on some of the things that they say. And what was really nice is that when he kind of like came in and kind of said, look, you know, I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm kind of done with the community for now. What was really lovely was that, you know, yeah, again, he was saying like, you know, sometimes life is really smooth and sometimes the anxiety takes over, right? And that kind of like long-term suffering with pain is very difficult. And the community support that kind of came together, so many people expressing, you know, their support for it, their understanding for how this all kind of like, you know, comes together, and their care for him and those contributions, you know, and that he brings to our community, that they were so much appreciated. Which is really lovely to see, right? And then you can really see, you know, people like offering to support him privately, right, through private messaging and that kind of stuff. I'm looking at you, Rosie or Miss TQ. And, you know, yeah, again, others basically really, again, about, you know, sharing their, you know, struggles with anxiety as well. So, you know, showing that it's, you know, not just one person, but yeah, that they're in this together. And then, yeah, another community member, you know, kind of like summed that up quite nicely, called Jose. And he said, you know, we're stronger as a community and we're all doing, you know, everything that we can to help each other. And I think that kind of like really sums up the Sophie community as a whole. So, yeah, that would be my little community moment. How about you, Kaveh? What inspired you this week?
Well, I have to say it's a little bit related to our dialogue with people on plants, and specifically the role that culture has played where science didn't exist to make the right observations with the right tools. And this is really interesting because of our own journey here with Sophie, trying to evidence just how unique we are. We are organically beautiful, complex things, but so are plants. And imagine trying to run a relationship between two dynamic things. I'm sure most people can imagine that in their own personal lives. It's not a very static relationship, and it changes and evolves over time. It turns out that our relationship with the living world and plants as well shares some of those things, besides a 25 million year shared history of evolution, that us as mammals and plants, you know, we have this very beautiful, very complex, a very evolving, entirely non-static thing. So why did we ever think that simple statistical regression was ever going to result into valid observations that we could apply to Fab? I don't know when we made that leap, but I think what we did is we say, actually, it's not about Fab. It's about a group of people. You're like, well, who are these people? They're like, well, they're a little bit like Fab, not really like Fab. They're a bit like Vincent, but not really like. They're like, but they're like no one I know. They're like, yeah, exactly. But it's really good for them. And I think what was interesting was when we didn't have the scientific or mathematic or technology capabilities to connect this beautiful, complex organic, the person and the plant, we relied on narrative and culture and storytelling and observation. And then we codified this practice with these stories. And what I find very interesting as an inspiration is how we are just beginning to glimpse into why some of these incredible traditions survived for as long as they did. Why does P, or Pamela, as she says, practice this art or this craft or this medicine with plant the way she does? Why does she say that the baseline is higher after you treat and take away a plant rather than just have tolerance, dependence, crashing because you've taken the benzo away? Why does that happen with plants? And for the first time, as we start seeing this data, the means of analysis that is very much about the individual becoming the center of it. So it's no longer about these people you've never heard of, which are in the study you've never seen before, but it's about you and it's about your specific response. It feels like we're almost going full circle. This has been a bit of a random talk, as has been my answer to your question, but we're going a bit full circle in focusing back again at the person. When this whole thing began, it was between a healer and a person. It was a one-to-one relationship. It wasn't about the healer to a bunch of people they hadn't seen before, trying to randomize an outcome that was generally good for some of them. It was a one-to-one relationship. And it feels we are finally beginning to have the tools necessary for us to turn the focus back to the person. And for me, observing that transition, going back, reconnecting to the way we used to do things, but now through technology, feels like an awesome opportunity for changing the way we approach the idea of health. And I think that idea is now becoming just as dynamic as the methods we are using to practice it, which is so cool and so grateful for Fab beginning to just highlight for us what a gorgeous journey is still ahead of us in hoping to discover this one day. But that has been my inspiration, Vincent.
That's great to hear your inspiration. And of course, we're going to be unpacking some of those data that we are amassing, some of those conclusions that we've come to, and talking about this new way of studying people and plants in later episodes. So now a quick look at what's coming up next week. So next week, we're excited to be welcoming Professor David Casserey to the show. So David is a professor of palliative care at Duke University School of Medicine, and he also happens to be the chief medical advisor at SOFI. So somebody that we know well and has a very unique insight into medical care at the end of life. So supporting patients, of course, through some of their most difficult moments. So we can't wait to speak to him. And just before we go, a quick reminder of the special portal that we've created for the UK HR listeners to join SOFI. It is join.sofi.health/radio, where you will find all the information you need about your journey and a discount code especially for you to use if you decide that you would like to join us as one of our pioneer community. So all that's left to say is, Fab, thank you so much for taking time out of your incredibly busy schedule to be with us today. We really hugely appreciate it. I think we've all been inspired by all the things that you've been talking about. And I would urge all the listeners to go and look you up and get a hold of that most recent book in particular. So that's it from us today. We look forward to being with you next week for the live show on Monday at 3 p.m. UK time. Until then, take care.